My topic today is War Cry of Living Sacrifice. I'm kind of excited to tell you about my story of living sacrifice, but first of all, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting me be the one to be here to stand and speak your word. You've prepared our hearts. We are ready. We're ready to receive. Lord, I ask for your anointing. I ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to come, and even if I say it different than what they may hear, you speak it into their life how they need to hear. We just love you so much. I give you the glory today. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture I'm going to use is Romans chapter 12, verse 1, which says, "Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, offering all that we are as living sacrifice to God every day." Now that everyday thing and how to be holy, that sounds like an awful big word for just these average kind of people. But let's go on a journey. Present your body. I don't know. I need a better picture. I'm very visual and I have to have it really simple. So we're going to be simple today. Ezekiel 36, 26 to 28 says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you, and I will move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my commands." Who does it? He does it. "You will live in the land I gave your forefathers. You will be my people, and I will be your God." I love the sounds of that. So what I learned right there is he does it. But the thing is, there's a heart exchange. There's a transferring of hearts. He's saying, "Can I have your heart? Because let's just do a little trade. You give me your heart, I'll give you mine." His whole intention is for you to have his heart, because inside his heart, it comes with a package deal. It has an app in it. It's a heart with an app. And that app is called Holy Spirit. That app programs, dissects, convicts, changes, challenges. It goes with this heart. But you got to exchange your heart for his. And this Holy Spirit app inside, it's programmed to make you want to follow his commands. That's what Ezekiel says right there. The goal is for God. The heart exchange isn't for you to have a great and wonderful life. It's for him to have a wonderful life. It's kind of opposite from how we think. That heart of flesh means you're going to know what he's thinking. You have the opportunity to get in on what it's like behind the throne room and all there is to offer in the kingdom of God. His whole goal is to be your friend. He wants your friendship. Really, that's ultimately what he's after. John 15 says, "Step into my life union with me, for I have stepped into life union with you. For as a branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit, so your life will not be fruitful unless you live your life intimately joined to mine." Now, my sacrifice that we're talking about today is living. She's right. Dead sacrifices don't get too far. You can sacrifice a lot of things. The eating, the shopping, the saving. You could pass a lot of things up, but a living sacrifice is a little bit better. What is a living sacrifice? I decided to get my own redemption story. What does that say? What? I can't hear you. Okay. That's the story of the cross. That's the cross. When you come to the cross, you give your life, and you're all mature people sitting here. I think I know everybody here. You come, you've given your life, you've done that heart exchange, so you come to the cross. And you lay it all out. You want that heart exchange with that app, with the Holy Spirit that teaches and trains you. Your God says, Jesus, come sit with me. Your work is done. You know what? It's just our starting place. But what I've noticed and observed is a lot of people come and give their lives to the Lord and go back out and live like they did. I have a problem with that. There is a resurrection life behind the finish line, but a lot of people don't go past the finish line. Jesus is finished. He can do no more. It's all for us. We have access to everything in heaven as a process, as a training. God's desire was not for you to just come and change hearts, but to walk with Him. When you come to the cross, you have to go past the finish line to grab everything there is. And I'm telling you, I'm one of those that I want it all. I want all the privileges, the royalties of heaven. Don't you? I do. Well, as I was talking to God about that, I thought, well, I don't think I would be worth you coming and dying for. I'm really not worth that. Why would He do that? So He gave me an answer. Jesus talking here in John 6, 38 to 40. And this is Jesus telling me why He did it. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of Him who sent me. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that He has given me, but raise them up on that last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes that they have all that, they shall have eternal life. You can have eternal resurrected life. You can have it now. And I will raise them up on that day. I'm going to try really hard to find out what's behind that finish line until He comes to take us home. I know I'm going to have it all when we get there. But I think I could use a lot of what's behind the finish line walking life out. What I've noticed too, behind the finish line, it's not for sissies. I think you have to be a brave heart. You have to be pretty stout-hearted. No weaklings get to push through the finish line. Okay, let me just tell you a little bit about myself. I could pick on me. Just to let you know a little bit of more of what I'm like, I'm a hopeless romantic. I am very passionate about life. I like to take life wholeheartedly, with both hands, whatever I do. If you're my friend, you're my friend, all I can give you. I'm tender. I'm gentle. I'm witty. Have gotten in trouble because I am. Sometimes I snap off kind of quick. I love to have fun. I love to have birthday parties and make everybody feel like they have a birthday party and they're important. I love a challenge. I hate to lose, but better yet, I love to win. I can be very stubborn. Just saying. I'm a bit radical, especially radical about the things of God, my family, and the people that I love. I can be pretty radical. I have a huge child heart. I love to laugh. In fact, Patty Gray and I do a lot of ministry together out there, and we're usually always rooming together. I don't know what it is about her and I, but we get like this undignified howling laugh that is uncontrollable, and we don't apologize for it, but I love to laugh. And we get together, and we almost have to pull the car over sometimes because we're laughing too hard. I will cry with probably anyone that I see crying. Do I need to know what's wrong? No. I just feel it. I can sense your sorrow, and I can pick it up. I am very sensitive. I can go through the store, and I can read people. I can tell things that are wrong, and I have to just go get in my car and go and pray and cry all the way home. I'm very sensitive. I can pick things up. That can be good. That can be bad. I'm an order person. I really do like my ducks in a row. I like to have things done. I like it on a schedule. And I like to know what to expect. Can we have lists, please? How long is that going to take? When are you going to show up? I like order. But most of all, maybe you wouldn't know this about me, but I'm a warrior. I'm a warrior. I'm a protector. I'm one that would die for the cause. I'm in. I'm all in. I'm learning to be selfless and a desperate lover of God. Whatever there is, I want it. Did I say I like order? I went through the finish line. Guess what? My order's getting messed up. God's order is a little different than mine. God is a God of order. Yes, indeed. This right here is bubble wrap, right? Well, this is just nothing but an illustration of a picture of a spirit-filled, happy Christian named Debbie. When I came to the Lord, I became very, very filled. I wanted everything there was. I was radically embarrassing. I really was. And if there was something that I could get, I wanted it. And in time, because I was so full of wanting God, soon people came along and started stepping on me and popping all my bubbles. And you know what? I think that people in my life that would come and step all over my bubbles liked the sound of popping my bubbles. Now, I was still a happy Christian, but I got bitter, betrayed, disappointed, until I became pretty flat. Now, I was still a Christian. I had many betrayals, disappointments, rejection, depression, all the things that are awful like God. I thought this was better behind the finish line. I really want to go on with you, but what's going on? But God showed me something. Debbie, you hear the popping of those bubbles? They're still there, but you needed to get really flat. Because you know why? I'm going to take you places where you can go and slip right under door cracks. Not only that, but you're going to go around people that are hurting. They won't even know you're there because you're praying for them. You're going to be invisible. You're going to be a living sacrifice for me. You're going to do much for me. But to be a living sacrifice, you're going to get stepped on. What I learned is, it's for you, not against you. Those betrayals, those rejections, those unfair things that happen in our life are the very training tools God is using in yours and my life to be mature enough to handle the crown to wear out in the world that makes you living and light and bright, where you won't react out of your old way, how you used to act. You see, I can have the action of sin, but not the nature of sin. What I mean by that is before I came to the cross, I reacted. I was stubborn, active, getting mad. But now, with that heart that's got the app in it, when I would react, I had a memory of how I used to be, but now I have the nature of God, so I couldn't react the same way. My bubbles had to pop for me to learn that. It was good for me to be popped. I became better use for God. So everything that comes your way, there's a good in it, if you can press through, no matter what. To get into the... God's finish line is your starting line. There's another app that's in this heart. It's called the blood of Jesus. You know, when you have that instant reaction of your old way and you choose to do the right thing, The blood of Jesus just keeps washing, just keeps washing, just keeps washing those old memories away until soon the nature of God has overtaken the bad memories of things that have happened, and he uses it for you, not against you. Just like the clay illustration or the pot. Was God reordering me? Oh, yeah. He was reordering me. Do I like order? Oh, I do. But my order really needed to change. I need to learn to flow with the Holy Spirit and this new heart that I had. When I was growing up, I was one of five children. And my mom and dad would always say, Debbie, you are such a wiggle worm. I couldn't sit still. And I was the one that they said we would pay you 10 cents if you could sit still for 5 minutes. I don't think I could have done that. I just was a wiggle worm. I love to be busy. I also love to please. I love to please people. I would love to do anything for you I could. I have the heart for you. I loved it. I would love to do anything for anybody just to keep busy, make you happy. Did I need to be happy? No, that didn't matter. I love to help people. Well, God was beginning to change my order. He was learning or teaching me to learn, Debbie, there's something I want you to do. I want you to learn to be still. Be still? Now that is not for me to do. I love action. Being still would be really difficult for me. But God was beginning to show me I was a people pleaser. And God wanted me to be a God pleaser. Making everybody else happy was not necessarily making God happy. That was news to me, but I had to hear that behind the finish line. 2 Corinthians 5:14-15 says, for Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, that's Jesus, and therefore all died. And he died for all of us, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So I was beginning, little wiggle worm Debbie, and God says, this is the illustration of a little girl. I had a friend that gave me a little figurine. It's one of those willow figurines. And I loved it so much, I made a copy so you could see it. But God was saying, Debbie, I like that you now have come through the finish line, but we got work to do. We've got to do some changing in you. Come and sit on the rock, sit in me, and just hold my heart. Just be still. Listen to the beat of that heart. It will calm you. It will still you. Just be still. That was a hard thing. You'd have to almost strap me in that chair. I really didn't like being still. If I could do anything else, I would. But this little girl represents me. She doesn't have a face. She's faceless. Because this little girl, as she started holding God's heart, which represents me, I learned to not see through my natural eyes. I began seeing through the eyes of my heart, which was his. And I saw ears out of this heart that was helping me see and hear in a brand new way. And you know what? I began to love being still and sitting with the Father. That's my most favorite thing. Total reordering. God reordered me. Now, people that know me now that haven't known me very long say, you really like to soak and spend a lot of time in the quiet. They never knew that I was just a busy bee, a wiggle worm. The first battle that the Israelites fought after leaving Egypt was a place called Rephidim. They were camped there minding their own business when the enemy came and attacked them. Rephidim actually means resting place. Israel was literally at a place of rest when trouble came. For me to translate that into my own life, when I read something like that, I go, yeah, I get that. So maybe you too. You've gone to a conference. You're in full peace. You've been touched by the Lord. You're in the car, the music's cranked on high, it's your favorite song. You've got the afternoon off, as far as you know, and you're just in a good zone with the Lord. Everything's going well, when all of a sudden, you get a phone call or something meets you at the door when you get home. What's that all about? You were in peace, and when you least expect it, the enemy comes and attacks. What should you do when something like this happens? I have a recommendation. I love a challenge. I love a challenge. Meet the challenge. My recommendation is meet the challenge. Don't wimp out, or you will not get to the next phase, the next fullness. So when something hits you at the door after some, just know. Let the nature of God just get still inside. You don't have to go run and get in a room by yourself. But wherever you are in the middle of busy, you grab that peace that you knew that you had when you're in the quiet, and you hang on to it for dear life. Get to a place where you grab that heart. Don't run to the phone and talk about it to everybody else. Run to God. Run to God all by yourself and hold his heart. Ask him what's really going on. There's a story behind it. This heart that you're holding, his heart is full of strategy. I'm a warrior. He's teaching me strategy in his heart. And it's incredible. He'll teach you how to deal with every situation there is under the sun. And I'm having a blast learning the different strategies. I like a challenge. I like to see how long I'll last before I crack, you know, or melt. I do. Let's just bring it on. The real fight. What?
There's that warrior.
There's that warrior, yeah. The real fight is to stand strong in peace and to stand your ground looking at him and knowing there's something good in every situation. To not let the enemy grab and steal your rest. Remain restful, peaceful, whatever you want to say. But that heart that you're hanging on to, if you get quiet enough, there's strategy in how to get through your problem of what you're going through, what you're dealing with. He'll give you a how-to, how to pray. God's finish line is your starting line. And the enemy will wrestle you out or want to wrestle you out of your position of rest. He'll try and make you anxious and fearful. That's his favorite thing. But 1 Corinthians 5:14 says, as I go back to, Christ's love compels us. That heart, what's in that heart will compel you to do the right thing. But you got to stop and listen. Get the heartbeat of God. He needs to take you through that training ground. You have to be a qualifier of the faith. That's what it means. You want to be mature, or do you want to flop around and live like the old way and be miserable all your life? There's a better way. It's laying down your life to him, picking up that heart and hearing him, running through the finish line. I brought presents. Everybody gets one. I'll let you pass those out. Now, that's a bracelet. The main Hebrew word for bracelet is derived from a root word meaning to bind or join. Bracelets on the wrist of a Christian signify being bound or attached to the Lord Jesus. So I'm giving you the seal. You are bound and attached to Jesus today. If you wonder if you are, you know now. You've done that heart exchange. And I chose two different things on there. I chose a scripture and I chose a word. The scripture is 1 Corinthians 9:26, and I'm reading it from the message because it's so clear to me. And it goes like this. You've all been to the stadium and seen the athletes race. Everyone runs. Only one wins. Run to win. All good athletes train hard. They do it for the gold medal that tarnishes and fades. You're after the one that's gold eternally. I don't know about you, but I'm running hard for the finish line. I'm giving it everything I've got. No sloppy living for me. I'm staying alert and in top condition. I'm not going to get caught napping, telling everyone else all about it, and then missing out myself. Isn't that great? Now, why would I pick gentleness? It's kind of a strange word if you're a warrior fighting hard. Gentleness. I was tucked in with the Lord one day, and I was just in my normal thing. Hi, God, how are you today? So what are you doing? So where's the battle today? What's on your heart? What's on your mind? So what do you think about Africa? Is there anything going on there? You know, and I dialogue with him like that. So I asked him, so would you tell me something that pleases you? I'd kind of like to know. Just give me a little secret today, would you, God? So he did. This is what he said. Gentleness is a key to running well, a war cry that defeats your enemy. Oh, that's good, God. That's good, God. So why would he tell me that? He says, well, look at 1 Peter 3:4. It tells you right there. I love the Word of God. It'll tell you everything. It'll teach you how to strategize, but it says, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. You know, when somebody is, and I've had training in jobs that I've had in the past where people come and just are yelling at you because you're the person with the uniform or whatever, whether it's your fault or not, and you realize if you lashed back at them, what would you solve? But gentleness and just standing there and even responding in, I'm so sorry. It's amazing the difference of the battle and who wins. Gentleness is a key to God's heart. It's warfare. That is one of the greatest warfare tools you'll have. If you're upset, ask God to help you be gentle. It will counteract all the anger and upsetness in your life. So I chose to put that on your arm. Remember gentleness when you feel it, yourself trigger off. I want to tell you a story. Let me tell you a story about a sniper named David. He too was a warrior, but he had to learn how, just like me. David was the youngest of a big pile of boys. He was ruddy with bright eyes and very good looking. He didn't always get to take part with his older brothers because, you know, he was the little one after all. But that was okay because David was out in the field with his sheep and he loved it out there. He got quite good at it too. He had a good heart and he loved God. He loved to sing and sing and sing. He would sing, and when he'd sing, his sheep would be so comforted. They knew David would be close, and they felt safe. David was fierce. He killed lions and tigers and bears. He wasn't afraid. He was a good protector. One day, David's father asked if he would go into the village where his brothers were. There was something going on, and he really wanted to know if his other sons were okay. David, go and check on your brothers. Bring them lunch. Come back and report to me. Go see what's going on. David spent so much time with God, he knew God's voice. So he had much dialogue in his heart. Something was going on in that village. He heard it as he approached the village. When he set out over the hill, he came over and he thought to himself, what is this all about? David had a knack of seeing people for who they were. You see, David had a good heart, and out of that good heart, God had taught him how to see people through God's eyes. As he got closer, as he went over the hill, he saw all kind of commotion, and there seemed to be one huge, tough, ugly guy just bullying everybody, yelling obscenities, scaring people, yelling, putting fear all over everyone, including his brothers. But he was not afraid. God had taught him how to keep his peace, how to not be afraid. Don't run from battle. David knew how God fought with tigers, lions, and bears. He also learned a tool. Never be afraid, David. Do you know why? When you are afraid, you put off a scent. And the enemy knows where you are. If you're not afraid, you have to have your peace to not be afraid. See, it all goes hand in hand. But David knew one thing that was the most important of all, to always, 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 always check in with the Lord first at everything he did. So he had lots of words in his heart to know what to do when. He put them into song, and he'd often be speaking them over the sheep. When David's brothers saw that he came over the hill, they said, "David, what are you doing here?" They laughed and said, "You shouldn't be here, David. This is too dangerous for you. This big giant here could hurt you. He could kill the whole village." David was not afraid. He saw him for who he was. He was just a bully. In fact, he wanted to fight that guy. Well, that didn't go over too well with his brothers and the people. But they decided, okay, you can fight them. So they started putting their armor on for him to get ready to fight. David heard the sound in his heart that said, "David, don't do it that way. How did I teach you? Do it the way I taught you." Okay, he heard he was to fight, but he didn't know he wasn't to do it their way. "That's right, God. I'll do it the way you taught me." He bent down to pick up a rock, and as he picked up the rock, he heard the strategy in his heart, what God told him to do. He said, "David, run as fast as you can toward that bully, and this is what I want you to say. You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty, the God of armies." Whoosh. What do you think happened? How could David do that? David was set apart. He was a qualifier to fight in God's army. He had the words in his heart. He heard God's words. He had spent so much time with him. He was a qualifier to fight in this battle. He had a lot of self-control and nerves of steel. And he always thought about the things God taught him. Have you ever felt small for the battle? Have you ever felt inadequate, didn't have the right credentials of what the standard is for everyone else? But you heard something in your heart that God would say, "Do this." And it went against the string. You're a true warrior. Go with God. It's the voice of the Lord. I encourage you to step out in that. You've got to be a qualifier to walk for the royalties of heaven. David's greatest weapon was worship. He was full-time worshiper and a part-time shepherd. He worshiped in secret, and God met him on the battlefield. Worship didn't keep David away from the battle. Now get this. Worship brought God down into the battle where David was. David did kill that big, huge bully that day. Not only that, but he knocked him down, took his sword out, and cut off his head just to make sure. God never lost a battle. David knew that. There was another way that David fought. David was a warrior as a scribe. His writing is still doing warfare today, piercing the darkness, isn't it? Do you know that the Lord is releasing a scribe anointing today? Are there people in the room here that write? How many write or would love to write songs or music? I'd like to release an anointing of that over here. If you want God, if you pick up your pen, he's going to make it go. Whether there's plays to write, music to write, books to write. I just release that now in the name of Jesus. Get up and grab it. I believe you're going to write books. You're going to write songs. Plays need to be written. Yes. Pick up your pen and fight. That doesn't seem like warfare, but isn't that a gentle warfare? Gentleness. You could do a lot of damage with a pen. But do it in the way that God speaks through you, through his words. God's finish line is our starting line. Our training is never over. Sorry. It isn't. Just know that. There'll always be somebody you can learn from. And there'll always be somebody behind you or under you that you're going to teach. They're watching you. People are watching and wanting to learn what you have. You're a light, every single one of you. God is giving us a new strength to fight, I believe, today, because I think we need more strength in what's coming. Go through the finish line, because if you stay where you are, you're not going to be qualified to make it. You're going to really not do well. You're going to fall on your face too soon. But if you go and grab the privileges of heaven, of how to walk with God, you will be strong no matter what. You will die for the cause if that's necessary, and you'll be ready for that. Jeremiah 50:34 says, your Redeemer is strong. Your Redeemer is strong. The Lord Almighty is my name. I will vigorously defend your cause so that rest can come to your life. Isn't that good? Just in closing, that's all I have to share for that part. But I don't know if anybody has heard of the Passion Translation. Remember I told you I'm a hopeless romantic? He's just a full of passion guy. Brian Simmons translated this, but David, I found Psalms 27 just summed it up so much of everything I just said. And let me just read it to you in closing. He titled it Fearless Faith, David's poetic praise to God before he was anointed king. And you know, this is after he ran and killed the giant. He came back and wrote this, and this is what he said. The Lord is my revelation light to guide me along the way. He's a source of my salvation to defend me every day. I'll never turn back and run. For Lord, you surround and protect me. Evil, when evil comes to destroy me, they will be the ones who turn back. My heart will not be afraid. Even if any army rises to attack, I know that you are there for me, so I will not be shaken. Here's the one thing I crave from God, the one thing I seek above all else. I want the privilege of living with him every moment in his house, finding the sweet loveliness of his face, filled with awe, delighting in his glory and grace. I want to live my life so close to him that he takes pleasure in my every prayer. In his shelter in the day of trouble, that's where you'll find me, for he hides me there in his holiness. He has smuggled me into a secret place where I'm safe and secure, out of reach from all my enemies. Triumphant now, I'll bring him my offerings of praise, singing and shouting with ecstatic joy. Yes, listen and you can hear the fanfare of my shouts of praise to the Lord. If you live in my neighborhood, you might see, if you looked in my window, some radical things going on and some shouts, because I've been known to do that. One day my husband came home and I had a thing over my head and I was just praying away. And I didn't know he came home, but he came home for lunch later on and he said, so you and the Lord have a good time? I said, I did. And he said, yeah, it looked like it. And I said, oh, you came home? Well, I wasn't in a room with the door shut. I didn't know he was coming home. I would have a loft up the top of the stairs, and I was really getting with it with the Lord. But he knows me. I'm just pretty radical. But this is to sum up what David says. Here's what I've learned through it all. Don't give up. Don't be impatient. Be entwined as one with the Lord. Be brave. Be courageous and never lose hope. Yes, keep waiting. For he will never disappoint you. Amen.